Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. Tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, we have Julio Diaz. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard 4 o'clock tomorrow on News Radio and also on Saturdays. And also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. They watch movies and talk about them. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Also, special treat today. Julio's going to be on the wrap. So after he gets off the phone here, he's going to drive into the station. You'll get to hear him again in about 20 minutes. I'm looking forward to that. Hamilton the movie, is this just a movie version of the musical?
This is literally, you may have already seen this, to be fair. So this was released on Disney Plus a couple of years ago, I want to say.
Oh, okay, I did, actually, yes.
Yeah, it was originally intended for a theatrical release, and I think it was during the whole COVID thing, if I remember correctly, they decided to just go ahead and put it straight on Disney Plus. But this is a straight direct filming of the Broadway production with the original Broadway cast. Like I said, it has been on Disney Plus for some time, but they've decided to give it a big screen release finally, which, you know, is there's a lot of Hamilton fans out there. There's a lot of people that, you know, it's still playing on Broadway, and tickets are still not cheap because I don't know if you've ever looked into trying to go to see Hamilton on Broadway, but even with the original cast no longer in it, you still expect to pay about $150 for a seat in the theater.
Wow.
So, it is still extremely popular. There are a lot of fans. And I think this is going to be more of the go see it on the big screen, possible sing-along directing kind
more,
of experience for most people. But, I mean, if you have seen it or even if you haven't, it's absolutely beautifully made. And it's, of course, a wonderful production with great songs and, worth your time.
I realized how pervasive Hamilton had become, which I suspected but didn't know quite as viscerally, when we were watching it on Disney Plus, like you say, a couple of years ago, and my youngest son then at the time, probably 13 or 14, comes out singing all the songs that he knew already by heart because they'd play them for him in school. And so, I mean, you know, because he knew.
Oh, yeah.
Conjuring
There's a little danger in that because as much as I love Hamilton, it's not 100% historically accurate,
right.
But it's historically accurate enough, I think, to get by.
Conjuring Last Rites?
Yeah, this is, I think, the 247th Conjuring film. 253rd.
Keep count, Julio. Come on.
Yeah, because we've had, this is, I believe, the fourth one that actually is called The Conjuring, but then you've got the Annabelle films are part of that world, and the Nun films are part of that world. And I think there was one other that was mixed in somewhere. But this is getting back to the root franchise. At one point, they were saying this is the last one, but I think they backed away from that and said this is the last one of this phase. whatever. The interesting thing about this series is one person put it to me, one friend of mine put it to me, is that the lead actors, Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, have managed to take two people who are completely reprehensible human beings in real life, these charlatan, demon hunters, and make them completely sympathetic characters in these movies. Of course, the movies take it seriously, and they're actually facing supernatural events in these movies. But this is the same couple that the story behind the Amityville Horror, and, there's been a number of movies that have been based on the supposed real-life exploits of these actors.
Okay, well, I haven't watched any of them, so I will, I will continue my practice. But for people who love them, I'm sure they love them, and for everybody else, it's...
Yeah, and for everybody else, some of these movies have been very well-reviewed, in fairness.
Okay.
The first and second Conjuring movies did get very, very good reviews. This one's running 55% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, so even-handed. All right, we got short time to get through the rest of these. Twinless?
This is the best reviewed movie of the weekend. It's about two people who enter a support group for twins and trying to navigate life without their twins. They both have dark secrets that are going to come out. My guess, and I don't know much about this movie at all beyond the reviews, my guess is that one of them is going to prove to not be a twin. That's just my gut feeling here.
Interesting. All right.
We'll see. But very good reviews.
All right. Light of the World?
Not screened for critics. This is an animated version of the story of Jesus through the eyes of the Apostle John.
Oh, okay. All right. Splitsville?
Weirdly, we have two films this week that are about alternative relationships. This is a film about a man who's breaking up with his wife. He goes to his two best friends for comfort, and who are a married couple, finds out that the secret to their success is that they're in an open relationship. Dakota Johnson is the lead.
No way, Dakota Johnson in a weird sex movie. Okay, how about that?
Imagine that.
Never happens. All right, and since we're in this direction already, I suppose, The Threesome?
Yes, it's right there in the title.
All right.
This is starring Zoe Deutsch. She's a member of, the title implies there's a couple that are three people that have a threesome.
The three stars of a basketball team is what this is about. Is that what you're telling me?
Two of them form a relationship, and then the other one comes back into the picture, and things go awry.
Right.
There was another movie called Threesome in the 90s.
Yeah, I remember
kind
that.
Kind of the same thing. I don't think this is a remake, though.
Okay. What are you going to watch next week?
Not 100% sure yet, but check out the Facebook group. As soon as we know something, we will put it up there.
Sounds good, and we'll see you in about 20, 25 minutes. Julio Diaz will be on the wrap here shortly. He is also the host of Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock on Saturday here on News Radio and the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Julio, see you in a bit.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound just after Pine Forest. Traffic is moving slow through that area. Pensacola Boulevard southbound running a little bit heavy just before I-10. Also, Burgess seeing some slowdowns between Palafox and Oakfield. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Camp stove, check. Canned goods, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Grand Island High School near Buffalo, where a very serious violation of the separation of church and state is taking place. You see, seniors at the New York High School pay $50 for the privilege of decorating their assigned parking spaces with positive artwork meant to beautify the campus and promote school spirit, which we think is a lovely practice. We definitely believe in empowering students to stand up for what they believe in, as long as it's also what we believe in. The freedom to agree with us is one of the most important freedoms that young people have. And to reinforce the idea that the absolute freedom to say approved messages is the kind of freedom we believe in, the school has a review panel to which students must submit their designs to make sure they are permissible expression and not just any old ideas whatsoever, which we also love, since it reminds the subjects in school that their freedoms are granted by permission from those who rule over them, in this case, the high school administrators. But then along comes Sabrina Steffens, who wants to paint the design with crosses and Bible verses proclaiming Jesus as the only way to salvation and that God has good plans for his people. Well, of course, they said no. You can't just have a private student in her private parking space expressing her own private belief in Christianity now, can we? How will anyone be able to tell this isn't the government speaking? Obviously, when someone paints their space with Mets or Yankees logos, it's easy to know the school doesn't pick sides. Or when someone paints a Ford or Chevy symbol, that the school isn't implicated in the brand preference. But obviously, if a school allows Bible verses, everyone's going to think the school itself is advocating salvation by Jesus alone, and that can't be allowed. I know it seems like the same thing, but it's not. Trust me. So they said no, but Sabrina got legal help, and the district reversed its decision because they were scared of losing a legal fight against the Constitution. Stupid Constitution. The whole idea of neutrality toward religion in our schools was supposed to prevent Christianity from having a presence there. Our goal has always been to make it seem like life without religion is perfectly normal because religion is so unimportant that it can be completely ignored in the process of, you know, becoming educated. There's no need for religion, there's no value to religion, and all religions are equal and equally irrelevant, which is why we pretend like they don't even exist, instead of giving children the knowledge to understand the subject for themselves. And obviously, if you don't exclude religion and the things it offers from school, such as meaning and ethics and values, how will you be able to fill their minds with our lessons about the holiness of the planet and the wickedness of America and the permissibility of every sexual activity anyone can dream up? If we can't keep Christianity out, how will we keep our own religion of earth worship, racial disharmony, and sexual relativism front and center for them? We tried so hard to convey the message that sports and cars and nature and hobbies are important enough to be allowed to represent people in their painted parking spaces, whereas religion is simultaneously so dangerous and also so worthless that it should be kept entirely out of the parking lot's gallery of individual art spaces. But no longer. Now some poor impressionable 17-year-olds will be forced to have a cross and a Bible verse accosting them so aggressively from the pavement underneath Sabrina's sedan. An obvious and disgusting example of state-sponsored evangelism so flagrant that it risks undermining the core teaching of K-12 education that religion does not matter, and possibly even giving them the idea that religion might be an important part of some people's lives. Disgusting. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the horrid, mean-spirited, and misguided writers of a recent article published at thirdway.org entitled, "Was It Something I Said?" For those who haven't been unlucky enough to read it for yourselves, I will summarize. The authors purport to be progressives, like us, and they claim they have identified a key cause of our ongoing failure to get our way in American politics. They claim our problem is we rely too heavily on specialized terminology such as marginalized, othering, anti-inclusive, triggering, microaggressing, postmodernism, patriarchy, oppression, intersectionality, and the like to express ourselves. As a result, the ordinary American voter finds us off-putting, arrogant, and weird, making them distrust us and not want to vote for us, they say. The writers go on to say that using such specialized and unusual vocabulary creates a barrier between our cause and the general population, makes them feel insulted by us, and actively prevents them from even wanting to be on our side. Well, you can immediately recognize that these so-called liberal allies are nothing of the sort. They don't seem to understand our movement at all. It's as if they haven't memorized or even read Gregelian's fifth treatise on the manipulation of language towards a future utopia of esoteric reification. So ignorant. Of course, we use language to separate and alienate. The entire premise of our movement is that the words you use direct the thoughts you're allowed to have. Therefore, the deliberate manufacturing of novel terminology isn't just a byproduct of cultural evolution. It's the very engine of cultural evolution. The raw material of our movement is the deliberate canceling, distorting, and inventing of words. It's through the active manipulation of language that we prove our virtue and purity and distinguish insiders from outsiders, and woe unto the outsiders. How can you teach people that dead naming is wrong if you can't even call it dead naming? How can you destigmatize the language of our penal system if you persist in calling them inmates when they're really citizens suffering non-voluntary confinement? If we don't start calling it chest feeding, how will we disabuse people of the bigotry of thinking that only those identified female at birth are capable of lactational nutrition? It's almost as if these authors want us to be effective in our persuasion rather than self-righteous in our irrelevance. Unbelievable. So no, these so-called experts, we do not need you telling us to speak like ordinary people so that ordinary people can be persuaded. The language you tell us to use is, in fact, the very language of violence, oppression, and patriarchal subjugation. And we will not perpetuate the violence inherent in the system. By using the vocabulary of the oppressors, we will person the barricades of linguistic revolution until the sheer truthiness of Sapir-Whorf linguistic relativism empowers our version of reality to shine forth and deliver the linguistically enslaved masses from the tyranny of our collective language plantation. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to take a moment to offer our strongest support for the Air Force of Finland, which has finally made the bold decision to eliminate swastikas from all of their unit flags. You see, when Finland first became a nation, winning its independence from over a century of Russian imperial rule, Count Erik von Rosen of Sweden donated the first plane to Finland's military in 1918, which carried his personal mark, the swastika, black on a blue background. Well, as you all know, along came the Nazis, who were somewhat uncomfortably allied with the Finns for a while, and of course, their use of the swastika as a symbol is extremely well known, including all the associated horrors of the Third Reich and the Holocaust. Well, after the Germans were defeated, the Finns decided not to abandon all of their swastika imagery, which predated the Nazis by two decades, and which, of course, long predated that around the world. Hindus, Jains, and Buddhists have used the swastika in India and Asia for thousands of years as a symbol of good luck or prosperity. Likewise, the indigenous peoples of North America, including the Hopi, the Navajo, and the Apache, have used it to represent the four directions or spiritual journeys. But none of that matters. The Nazis took it and ruined it, and therefore it is long past time for the Finnish Air Force to finish using it. You see, this is just another excellent example of how history, facts, context, nuance, and knowledge don't really matter. What matters is whether the average poorly educated person finds something offensive, which obviously is the case with the blue, white, and black swastika flags of some units of Finland's Air Force. And if the only way to cater to the shallow sensibilities of the least informed people in a culture is to eradicate a historical marker that pays honor to the founding of your nation's independence, is to get rid of it, well, so be it. As you all know, the motto of our order declares, don't educate, eradicate. When in doubt, cast it out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
8:27 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. PJ has traffic on the fives, even though he's wearing a Giants jersey, which...
There's a Wisconsin connection, so it's just going to leave it there.
Still doesn't justify it. Go ahead.
9 miles accident-free. Also taking a look at 3 Mile Bridge. That has run smooth. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right. By the way, it's been great to have you filling in for John. I appreciate it. Great work you've done. When he's been out for other reasons, when he's been on vacation, you've been great. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker.
My favorite human.
Still bracing for the arrival of the National Guard.
Is he still bracing?
He's vowing.
God, his legs have to be tired by now.
They have to be. He's vowing to take legal action if President Trump sends troops to patrol the streets of Chicago. He said yesterday that his office plans to go to court immediately if the National Guard is sent to the city. OpenAI is developing a hiring platform connecting businesses, that is, with employees that's expected to rival LinkedIn. The company says it'll be called the OpenAI Jobs Platform. It expects to launch the service by mid-2026. They could have come up with a better name, I think, don't you?
Probably.
Yeah. The Minnesota man now enjoying his freedom after serving 27 years in prison for a murder that he did not commit. Brian Hooper, he was sentenced to life in prison back in 1998 for the murder of a 77-year-old woman. In July, the star witness that helped convict Hooper recanted her testimony and confessed that she was the one responsible for the woman's death.
Wow.
The 54-year-old was released from prison yesterday morning and reunited with his wife and daughter.
Oh, man. The innocent person incarcerated for a long time is one of those just drives you crazy to think about. It really does. David, thanks so much for the update. 829 News Radio 92.3. Oh, I know Ryan Jenkins wasn't with us today. He was on vacation, so he'll be back next week. Because I was going to ask him about this corn combine fire that took place up in North Escambia. Had the article on it, and he said, "Yeah, it happens every year. Somebody catches fire. Corn, you know, the one that harvests the cotton picker that's like even worse because of the dangers, the friction, the heat, all that kind of stuff." So I saw the best cartoon. It was in the New Yorker. Don't hold it against it. It was a guy who goes out to his mailbox to get his bills, and in the background behind him is a giant building that says data center on it, like his house is next to the data center, and he's opening up the bill, and he's looking on his phone, and he's asking his phone, ChatGPT, why is my electric bill so high? Devastating.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump hosted dinner for big tech leaders at the White House who took turns praising the president, Apple CEO Tim Cook.
I want to thank you for setting the tone such that we could make a major investment in the United States and have some key manufacturing, advanced manufacturing here.
The president today is expected to announce he's bringing back Department of War as a secondary title for the Department of Defense. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth teased it, speaking at Fort Benning, Georgia, to new military officers.
One of the benefits of being Secretary of Defense, maybe a slightly different title tomorrow, we'll see.
Congress changed the name to Defense Department in 1949. 22,000 jobs created last month, worst monthly jobs report than most economists expected. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is a beautiful Friday morning. We've got sunshine right now, 74 degrees here in Pensacola as it's warming up. We'll get our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. A tropical wave in the Atlantic is now organized into an area of low pressure, featuring a cluster of showers and thunderstorms. The National Hurricane Center reports that conditions are becoming more favorable for development, with a tropical depression likely to form by the weekend. The system is moving westward at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Police in Daphne say they made an arrest after an incident that happened at a home at Jubilee Farms. The department released a statement saying 32-year-old Robert Kyle Keehy was found inside of a home as the resident was away. The woman who lives there was reportedly a victim in a previous domestic incident with Keehy, and a domestic violence protection order was in place. Officers say they initially tried to contact Keehy but were unsuccessful. They got an arrest warrant. When they returned to the home, they say he refused to exit and said he wasn't there. But after reconnecting with the victim, police entered the residence and found him hiding in a closet. He was arrested without further incident, and he faces multiple charges in that case. Well, investigators have now identified two suspects in that boot theft from a well-known Escambia County Western store recently. 50-year-old LaCarter Milliander and 49-year-old Angel Scott have been arrested for allegedly stealing from the boot store in Pensacola. Both were booked into the Escambia jail yesterday and are charged with felony larceny, petty theft. Surveillance footage captured the alleged theft. The sheriff's office cleared a third woman from any wrongdoing. That was the person who drove the suspects. Milliander had two active warrants for his arrest at the time, and Scott had three active warrants for prior incidents. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi announcing arrests and prosecutions in several human trafficking cases.
Because the majority involved unaccompanied children and human smuggling, we wanted to highlight those and why we're expanding our task force.
The four cases are from Florida, Texas, and Vermont and involve illegal migrants being smuggled across the Mexican and Canadian borders, as well as the operation smuggling Cubans into Florida. Bondi says one case being prosecuted in Texas involved a crash in Mexico, which resulted in the deaths of more than 50 would-be migrants. Well, today is the 104th anniversary of Florida State Road 1 opening in Santa Rosa County. Now, you might know that as the old Spanish Trail Highway. It was the first planned cross-country highway. It was intended to run from St. Augustine all the way to the Pacific Ocean. When the road was built after World War I, each local county was responsible for their own section of the highway. It was originally one lane, paved with bricks. Santa Rosa County opened their section on Labor Day, September 5th, 1921. A lot of this road actually still exists today. Old Spanish Trail Road runs through a residential neighborhood. The bricks turn into concrete around the Highway 90 overpass. More of the original road still in use as Red Brick Road on the other side of the railroad tracks. That runs for a few miles and comes out at the current Highway 90. But the old brick highway continues on, with 6 miles of it now being used as a multi-use path that runs alongside Highway 90. It's one of only a couple of 1920s brick roads that are still drivable in Florida today. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and PJ's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. There is a brand new vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, right near Pine Forest. Traffic continues to move slow through that area. Also, a disabled vehicle in the roadway, Pensacola Boulevard at Broad Street. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We're going to have a beautiful day today with temperatures around 90 degrees for your high. Just a small 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Saturday, 20% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping that beautiful weather on Sunday with plenty of sunshine, high near 90 and a low near 69. Second Accurate Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather App. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, and warming up quite a bit. Now seeing 80 degrees and sunny skies here in Pensacola. Your money now. Markets are up this morning. The Dow's up 110 points at 45,731. S&P up 24 points at 65,26. The NASDAQ up 123.5 points at 21,831. Looking at our 10-year bond rate, down a bit at 4.072%. Gold prices up $30 at 36.3680. Silver's up 41 cents at 41.83. Bitcoin up 2900 almost this morning at 112.805. Ethereum's up $178. Solana up 650. Dogecoin up about 0.8 cents. XRP up by 7 cents this morning. The Labor Department's jobs report is out. It's the first report since the president fired the agency's stats chief. Shows 22,000 new jobs added in August, down from last month's 73,000, which was already seen as a bit of a disappointment. Expectations were for today's number to come in at about 75,000. The unemployment rate was little changed at 4.3%. President Trump hosted more than 20 high-profile tech CEOs yesterday at the White House for a dinner.
The guest list included Meta founder Mark Zuckerberg, Apple CEO Tim Cook, Microsoft founder Bill Gates, and OpenAI founder Sam Altman. They took turns praising the president as they pushed for limited regulation on artificial intelligence. Zuckerberg said that all of the tech leaders were making big investments in the U.S. to build data centers and infrastructure. Not in attendance was the world's richest man and former Trump advisor Elon Musk, who had a public falling out with Trump this year. Musk said he had been invited, but couldn't make it. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. President Trump officially lowering Japanese auto tariffs. He signed that order yesterday, reducing U.S. tariffs on Japanese vehicles from 27.5% to 15%. The reduced tariffs had been announced back in July. That'll take effect at the end of the month. And American workers say they are growing increasingly stressed about debt and finances. Now, that's according to a new Bank of America survey showing 47% of people with jobs felt financially secure. And that's down from 52% back in January. Three quarters of workers say they're worried about the overall state of the economy. 8:39, our next news at 9 a.m. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
To the hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle
up. Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That means I have a couple of friends here in studio with me to talk about the issues from the week. It's a feature we do at the end of the week, every week on the Pensacola Morning News. Many time repeat offender, Craig Heinzman, pastor for community outreach at Marcus Point Baptist Church. Did I get close?
Hola, señor. Yes, that's actually very close.
All right, excellent. You put enough words in there, and I get the gist. I don't engagement. Necessarily get the words.
Engagement. I don't know. No, outreach. Engaging. Community engagement. Whatever.
Okay, so it's only people who are about to get married that you talk
yes,
to?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Hey, I mean, it's good to have your slice. You know, your lane. You know right. You know who you deal with.
I have my lane. I stay in it.
All right. There's eight people like that, and you deal right. with them. Julio Diaz, who is my longest-running regular interview. Of course, Fridays we talk with him about movies, but every once in a while. He was part of the original, sort of before there was the rap, there was the Newsmakers and Beers. What did we call that? I can't remember. But Hops and Headliners. That's what it was. God, that was a long time ago. Anyway, Julio, welcome back, sir.
Yeah, I think I've been around here longer than some of the furniture.
At
some point I need to talk to Dave and Mary about a paycheck.
You can have any conversation you like. So let's start with this. It's not the most important thing in the world, but it is an interesting topic of conversation. The sudden and urgent push by FDOT to eliminate street art that does not conform, and some street art that does conform, and some safety street markings that actually does conform, like the green crosswalk paintings in Gulf Breeze that are actually in the manual, because if Sam Abel says they are. That's how reliable she is. Nevertheless, FDOT says paint over it, so we painted over it. We haven't yet done A Street. That's going to be up to them, but I've said it's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. Julio?
A Street, which as I understand it, and I might be wrong, but as I understand it, A Street is actually not an FDOT controlled road.
Well, all roads, sir. All roads are under their domain. They own it all. I mean, the loop road for in the Gulf Breeze is not a state road either.
But it's not a state maintained road.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So, I mean,
thou shalt not have street art.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guarantee you that if one of the street art pieces were Blue Lives Matter or, you know, rah-rah Donald Trump, they wouldn't be such an urgent push to,
you know,
to cover.
Why don't conservatives do street art? We do the graffiti
question.
Bridge.
Because you can't do it with AI?
Stop. Oh!
Because the real artists are liberals. I don't think that's true.
It's not, but I don't know. I personally don't really care either way. I've driven down A Street, and it's never, I've never like, oh, I'm going to turn this corner now because I don't want to drive by this mural. It's going to offend me. I don't care. And I don't think the majority of Floridians care.
No.
All of a sudden, it's just issue, and that's what I think sometimes we go, why are we making this an issue?
Right.
It's not an issue. We're making it an issue to score political points, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's not doing what didn't score any points with me. I just goes, why are we focusing on this? There's other things to focus on, guys.
Because Ron DeSantis wants to be president.
No, come on, stop.
Why would you say something so outrageous? Big secret. Yeah, and he thinks that this is going to make him look good to the MAGA voters.
I think this is a misread. Not by him. I think that most conservatives, and it might be just my universe, but most conservatives that I've seen think this is dumb.
Yeah, I don't think.
And even if they hate the art, you know, I know some conservatives who are like, yeah, get rid of that BLM crap.
I do too. There's some people in my circles that are like, absolutely, it's about time. Okay, fine. Again, paint over it, whatever. But why does it have to be a state focus? And I was a day one contributor to the DeSantis for President campaign the first time around.
Yeah.
So I'm in support of the guy generally, but he's made some steps recently. The UWF fiasco. Now this, I'm going, come on. There are other things to focus on.
And now we're unmandating vaccines for kids. That's the new platform for the Republican Party.
I think not only do most people not really care about the street art, I think when you do something like with the Pulse Memorial, where it is a memorial to people who died,
right,
people take offense to painting over that more than they take offense to it being there.
And look, that is clearly ideologically not something that I support. And yet I support it being there and the community being able to have it there. I think another, we'll come back to the vaccines in a second, but this business about the Smithsonian and the part about the displays related to, not about the displays related to impeachment, but the art projects that are being questioned and the artists that are being, you know, threatened with defunding. I've looked at some of that art. It's art. It's I may not like it. You should defend art you don't like. You should defend plays you don't like. You should defend books you don't like.
I agree.
And that is across the spectrum. And, you know, it's not, it doesn't mean much when you defend the freedom that's used the way you like it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what the heart of the First Amendment is about. And we should all care about the First Amendment no matter what side of the ideological spectrum we're on. It's the first for a reason.
You're right.
Hold on
just a second. Let's get PJ here with traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound right near Pine Forest. Traffic is moving slowly. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks so much. PJ, Craig?
Yeah, when you think about these things like freedom of speech, and this is the most vital thing that we have in our community. You go, what goes on in England right now? That comedian that just got arrested for a...
For those who
TikTok
don't know, he made a comment on X where he said, if a guy with boy parts shows up in a girl's bathroom, kick him there.
Yeah.
You know, and they arrested him for inciting violence.
Right. As a terrorist act.
Yeah.
And I'm going, that's crazy. But that's what happens when you dismantle freedom of speech in any way. So I'll stand up for the right to someone that I disagree with to say the thing I disagree with. I will stand up for that right. Because I want to have the right to say the thing that they disagree with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Andrew, being a philosophy major, will appreciate the Voltaire of that for sure.
Yeah. You have to protect the repugnant, the repulsive, the blasphemous, the heretical. That's how you keep it safe for the things that you believe are true. Because otherwise you're setting the precedent. I mean, this is so basic. This is like first grader civics. Otherwise you're setting the precedent that when somebody comes along and doesn't happen to hold to your particular beliefs,
that's the
will
key.
Put yours out to pasture.
Right. And I tell people that all the time. It's like, what the problem is not the thing. The thing, yes, there are issues. I can understand FDOT has a way that we do memorials, right? You drive by them, you see the people that have died on the side of the road. There's the placard. You know, that's a very specific way because they don't want people creating all this stuff that causes distraction. I can understand that and I can see that. But at the same time, when we say, okay, well, we're going to tear this all down, we're going to pay this all over, that means is the next administration that may not have the same views that you have can do the same thing because you've said this is what we do.
The Department of War will change to the Department of Peace if we elect a Democrat. I mean, you know, all this kind of nonsense. The Gulf of Mexico will go to being the Gulf of America. We'll go back to being the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
It's all so dumb.
It's all about Big Map. Big Map is the one that's going to profit from this because every big year put out another map.
How much money has Rand McNally put into the Trump administration?
Rand McNally. Can you even find a printed map? Anybody?
It's a scary thing to talk about. You know, and I guess I feel extra insulted as a Republican that FDOT was covering its inconsistency and its ideology by telling Gulf Breeze to get rid of the green that is an allowed green.
Yeah.
Because they thought, well, that's the way we'll show that this is not about the politics or the content of the murals.
The bottom line is these things have been there for years. I mean, the Pulse is, I think we're coming close to 10 years since the
Is that right?
Yeah,
I want to say
it's 10 years.
The News Journal, so I left the News Journal in 2017.
Okay.
So. It's been a while. In fact, I did a one-year anniversary story while I was at the News Journal, so it's got to be at least 2016, 2015, somewhere. So, yeah, right about.
And I'll just say...
And it was like, not a problem all that time.
No, because it's not a problem. And going, if you've been to South Florida, you know there's murals all over the place. There's street art all over. And it's cool.
Yeah, it's part of it is neat.
It's pretty. Ideology, and some of them are non-ideological, it's just there. It's interesting. All right, we got to talk about the vaccines. there are times when I wake up in the morning and I just shake my head and I think, are we trying to lose voters? Like, what is going on here? This is it, Craig. It's perfectly fine to raise questions about the, you know, novel coronavirus vaccine.
Yeah, the mRNA virus.
Perfectly yes. fine. Perfectly, and it's frankly, it's perfectly fine to raise questions about any of the vaccines mm-hmm. that we mandate for kids or offer for kids. And it's perfectly fine to demand that evidence be given that things are effective and to what degree. Okay, that's fine. Do that first. Don't come to me and say, nah, you know, vaccines don't need to be mandatory anymore because, you know, that's a matter of personal medical. Okay. There's a personal medical freedom in play, but that is not the only concern. There are lots of concerns here. And, you know, I like not having polio and I like not having, you know, rubella. And I don't get this idea that we're just going to abandon vaccines or abandon the mandate of vaccines because, yeah, well, you know, we just can't have slavery. What?
How many kids have died in Texas of the measles this year?
Well, did anybody die? I can't remember. They got measles. They did die? Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple of deaths at least.
Okay. I don't know. I don't remember. It just seemed outrageous to me that you have kids getting measles these days, right?
Well, I mean, someone got the plague in California.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I was like, the plague.
Yeah, right. The bubonic, you know, bring out your dead. Right. The rat bit me and I got the plague. But
I mean, if we want to get really conservative, we could go back to, you know, if conservative is going backwards, and I don't necessarily agree that conservative is going backwards, but if you're talking about going back to the dark ages.
Well, we're talking about going, I think, because I've got people on that I know.
Three reported measles deaths.
Good friends that are very anti-vaccine mandates. And, you know, some of them drop into the, you know, vaccines have, you know, aluminum and now I will tell you the mRNA vaccine screwed my health up tremendously.
Like, well, you are already kind of factor right. sort of
and
guy.
It might just be I was also getting older. No, but
Craig is one of the healthiest people I know.
It changed my heart. I have heart conditions now that I didn't have then, and it was almost instantaneously. So I understand that's you look at kind of where that science is going. mRNA, they're actually looking at personalized cancer. Vaccines that, you know,
tailored to fight your body's
problem, right. Which is interesting science, but yet not proven. Some of these other vaccines been out for a long time,
and they're, you know, standard basic vaccines, expose you to an inactive form of virus,
like,
right?
When, and I can't remember what's the one that they give for like 15, 16 year olds that prevents
HPV.
HPV, you know, our doctor was incredibly conservative. And so when our daughter was that age, you know, I said, what would you do? He goes, I'd get the vaccine. I was like, well, you know, she's not sexually active. He goes, doesn't matter. I'd get the vaccine. I said, okay, cool. Done. Because
And you have opt-outs now. Like, under the current system, parents who have religious objections, and it gets used heavily in Florida, opt out. If you have a concern, it's the question of do you really think that more kids are going to be safer by going to a system where you have to opt in rather than the system now we have where you can opt out.
Yeah. So fun bit of trivia, though, about the mRNA vaccines.
Yeah.
The scientist whose work is kind of the keystone that the mRNA vaccines are based on is the lead singer of The Offspring.
What? No, shut up.
It's absolutely true.
No,
he has a PhD in molecular biology.
Stop.
He wrote a paper. That
no, stop.
It's absolutely true.
You got to keep them separated?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It is absolutely 100%.
My friend's
true.
Got a girlfriend and he hates that girl.
He has a legitimate PhD in molecular biology.
He's like
he
the Brian May of alternative alternative rock.
I mean, you'd be surprised how many of these guys. I mean, Brian May is one. He's a PhD in
astrophysics. Right.
Yeah. Lead singer of Bad Religion also has a PhD in, I want to say it might be molecular biology as well. There's a lot of these guys out there that they
well, that
they
is
love
stranger
music,
than fiction.
But they still want to get their degree. And they,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, but still.
And the guy actually is, you know, whatever else you think of his music or anything and how weird it sounds.
Well,
he is
every once in a
legitimate
while,
doctor of molecular biology.
Not to compare, but every once in a while, some random local talk show host is a philosopher. You know, whatever.
I don't
happens.
Know. I don't know that makes me feel better or worse now. I mean, I don't know. I kind of. Makes it a little cooler. I would have led with that if I was,
so,
you know, originally.
Yeah. So you're saying it's pretty fly for a white guy?
Right? Yeah, nice. Well done. There it is.
Oh, my gosh.
How long have you been working on that one, Julio?
That was
no, literally it was just right
that
there,
was
yeah.
cooking. Well, right. I mean, well, Idaho is the only other state that doesn't have mandates. And that's relatively new. So we'll the
jury. I thought we were the first.
No, Idaho passed.
And
it
Texas
a
was going to be the second if they do it. So, no.
But I mean, there's like you said, there's most states have carve outs, religious carve outs. Only a few states have no carve outs. So I don't know why you know the wholesale. We don't need it at all. I get that. Wow. There's a freedom, you know, idea. Like everybody should be free to do what they want to do. Completely understand that, but how, where do laws actually take place then?
Well, this is, again, it's for political points, and it's for, you know,
and the kind of,
DeSantis believing, and I realize that the state surgeon general has had this
he has.
For a while, but it doesn't happen without the governor saying, yeah, we're going to do that. The surgeon general may come from one place. I believe the governor is coming from a completely politically
makes
motivated
sense.
Place. He wants to be president. He thinks this is going to appeal to MAGA voters.
I don't know whether that makes it better or worse. I mean, that makes it seem like it's purely a tool or a device, you know, as opposed to being something that he really believes. Is that an accurate read of where the Republican base is at? I think that's
an accurate read of where both parties are at this moment in time. It is generally, we're just going to try to mold not our personal beliefs. It is, we're going to mold whatever we believe to fit the narrative that's currently happening in the world today.
Yeah.
It's California's crackdown on homelessness. Okay. That's how long has Governor Newsom been there? How long has homelessness been a problem there?
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, because you see this crackdown in DC, you're like, nope. We're going to crack down over here. Oh, it's
not born of conviction.
I like people that have personal conviction and will say, regardless of what's going on in the community, this is what I believe is right. Now, like we said, the Surgeon General here, that is his 100% conviction. Robert F. Kennedy, he's got, I may not agree with all his convictions. The man's got convictions, and he's willing to stand on them.
Him or his brain worm, one of the best.
Stop it. Vocal fry wins. All right, let's see. PJ's got traffic on the 5.
Still working that vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound right near Pine Forest. Use caution through that area. Also, a brand-new vehicle crash, US 29 at Tate School Road. Roadways open. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5s.
All right, let's go back to a story we covered earlier in the week. I'm kind of surprised I haven't really seen anybody else pick this up. Article in Task and Purpose came out on Friday, I think. A great military resource. Talking about how the Navy has ended the practice of going through carrier qualifications for its wings. You know, pilots now get wings without landing on an actual aircraft carrier. My initial reaction was horrified.
Yeah.
I read some more. I thought some more. I looked into why they're doing it. It's been since March that this has been the practice. As the cradle of naval aviation, as the place where we train pilots, you know, and we're a key part of that process, both at NAS Pensacola and at NAS Whiting Field. You know, I have lots of friends who this is their lives, and we talked with Greg McWhorter on Monday about this. And, you know, there's a concern about the practical effect of this change. It's not that they're never going to learn to land on carriers, it's just they're going to learn later. And also about the identity of being a naval aviator. And, you know, you've kind of taken one of the key elements out of that identity now. And, you know, as some I've seen online say, I guess we're just Air Force pilots now. You know, like it's. but, you know, want to defer to the experts. I want to. Big Navy doesn't make, you know, decisions lightly. They don't make any decision rapidly.
No.
So this has obviously been coming for a long time. But, you know, thoughts?
I mean, I have to defer to the experts. I'm not a pilot. I wouldn't, if you put me in the cockpit of a plane, I'm not only am I not going to land on an aircraft carrier, I'm probably not going to land.
All right, fair enough.
So, I mean, I have to believe that they know what they're doing.
I think it makes me nervous. My brother-in-law was an F-18 pilot for the Marine Corps. He would tell me about carrier landings and getting that qualification there. As long as we're still making sure these guys can do that, because we have to be thinking, especially after what we just saw with the Victory Day parade in China.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're not messing around.
They are not messing around, and neither do we. We have got to start taking this mess seriously, because they are one crazy hair trigger away from just, let's go.
I mean, giant demonstration of military capability, and our response appears to be, we're going to change the stationery to State Department of War.
Yeah,
I mean, that's, you know, ridiculous. That's not the great side by side you think it is.
No, and I don't think that. I don't know that.
And that's not a total summary of the Trump administration.
It wasn't made for that reason. I don't know why. You know, again, there are wars that we fight, quote unquote, right now that should not be being fought. There are things that are going on right now. We're just going, okay, move on. Let's. I don't mind a crime crackdown. I don't mind all this stuff, but I do mind that, again, just moving to score political points and not actually moving the needle towards something.
Well, same thing great. With the Huntsville, Alabama move. It's justified.
Correct.
But is the appropriate response to mail-in voting? Good Lord.
I thought your take on that was I really appreciated that take.
I will say this. I think I'm not wrong when I say it, so I hope I'm not wrong when I say it, but you can ask any naval aviator how many times he's landed on a carrier, and he'll know the exact number within probably one. And if you ask him how many times he's landed on concrete, he'll have no idea.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 923.